Welcome to Meeple, uniting players around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's board game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hey, friends, and welcome to episode 34, Board Gamer in Focus. And today we're with @getintogames, which begs the question, are you into games? And today we're going to talk about food and drink as a recent partnership between myself and Craig with Get Into Games. We've been doing food and drink, and so we're going to talk to him today. And as always, I'm PJ.
I'm Gareth.
And we are ready to begin. Craig, how are you? Thanks for being on.
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Having a good day, having a enjoyable weekend. And it's all good.
It's the end of it. I must admit, talking about food and drink, I'm thinking snacks and beers, right? All board game themed.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
as a whole, so I think we're doing board game themed food and drink, but there is an episode needed about food and drink.
That's it. Yeah.
That's right.
Maybe we're throwing our favorite snacks right towards the end.
There you go. I like it. So, Craig, let's start off. Tell us how you got started in the hobby, when, and what was the first game that got you into it?
I think my family weren't particularly, like my mum and dad side of things, weren't particularly into board games and that side of thing. My dad never had any patience for it or any of that sort of thing. And my wife's family were more well into it, and they loved their games of Monopoly, and I have no patience for any of that. The first, like, modern step into the hobby, I think it was around 2012 or some sort of time around that sort of time, and it was a pandemic was a random birthday gift that was bought by my wife, because it was more, oh, this is co-op, we can play together, this is really interesting, this is something I've never heard of. It's like, what, playing a game together and not like trying to beat each other? This doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, and so that kind of grew, and I did the thing that a lot of people do when they get into the hobby, I think, is just they buy a board game, they love it, and they go, oh my god, look at all the other content that's available for this one game, let me buy all of the expansions and never ever add them. Beautiful. Yeah. So I think I got 3 expansions to Pandemic. I got In the Lab and On the Brink and everything, and then sort of was like, this is not necessary for this game. It worked perfectly without it. Why would you do this to me? Wow, you've added a purple cube. Thanks for that. And then I think when we moved out of Surrey and we moved up into sort of Midlandsy area, and we didn't really know many people and stuff like that, so we looked for and there was a board game shop that was in Rugby, which is relatively near where we are. And they had some loads of games, and it was Colt Express I saw on the shelf. And I was like, if this is a board game, but that's not a board, that's a train. There are people in the train. I want to move around in the train. I want to do that. And I think, so as far as like a getting on board, no pun intended, I think Pandemic was there, but something that kept me on track. I like this. Fantastic. Was Colt Express. It really, I think that made me go, what else do board games have? And I still fell in the same trap, and I bought all the expansions to Colt Express and never play them. but I that really just propelled me into this hobby, really.
That's awesome. So the lesson to be learned is don't buy expansions. That's what I'm hearing. You're advising not to buy expansions.
I think it's also another episode title. That's 2 episode titles we just created. Expansions you don't need.
We've been on here for 4 minutes, and Craig's already got us 2 more episodes. This is great.
It's creative.
Returning guest. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I do find that with expansions. I do find that some of them are, if they don't, other than adding more stuff, if they don't do something dramatically different, it's like I can't get on board with expansions at all. So I rarely get an expansion to a game.
I certainly think I fell down that trap when I started out. And you're saying, you see the game, you see what they must be good. As you say, they must be needed. Why would anyone make an expansion if you didn't need it? Yeah. And they are, it's like you say, surplus to requirements. What was the last game that you added to your collection?
The last game I added to my collection, I got Pendulum, which I haven't actually fully played a game of yet because I'm still getting my head around it because it's very, very different. And I don't know why. It's just not sinking in my head. The last game I played was Terracotta Army. I played that last night. It's really good.
Yeah, I've got that unplayed. So do I need to unplay that game?
You need to unplay that game.
Okay.
You need to. Have you opened the box yet?
Yeah. It's all opened. I punched it and then looked at it and went, yes, this looks great. And then
I played it. It's solid game. It's one of those ones. If you're tired, don't play it when you're tired because there's a lot of thinking. I made the mistake that I thought this will be all right. It doesn't look too thinky. It's really thinky. And I enjoyed giving all my Terracotta Army a little bath so I could straighten them all out in boiling water today. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Very smart.
That sounds like a hot tip.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one.
And how did we get to choose the theme of food and drink board games today? If anyone hasn't been on Instagram this week, what's been going on?
So PJ and myself have just decided to collab over the last few weeks. We've just been doing our favourite themes. Which is quite an interesting little topic that I've been doing, just trying to see what our favourite themes are with people in the community. And we've done space and we've done dinosaurs. And then this week was food and drink. Just good quality themes that we kind of enjoy and have a good selection of games. And obviously PJ getting some recent Kickstarters in that may or may not be mentioned. Who knows? They kind of have come to the forefront of the hotness at the moment.
In fact, it's my Kickstarters that just arrived that is the reason why Craig and I are doing a part two for this week, you know? So yeah, that's how we got into this. And I was like, hey, Gareth, let's do it. Let's have Craig on. Let's talk about it. So
okay. So where are we going to start then? So I know we've chosen two games each. Who would like to go first? Craig, would you like to go first with a game?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So one of the games that really, it was actually my number one game for a long time before I got Everdell. Anyway, that's another topic. But it has got food and drink in it. Food. a game that Taverns of Teeth and Thal is one of my. It's a game that I just love. I adore it. It's so simple. Okay, the instruction manual, the rule book isn't great. It's kind of badly written and doesn't really. But when you're playing it, it flows really nicely. There is a lot of luck, but as far as like a theme, a modular board, being able to upgrade your cellars and stuff. So essentially, with Taverns of Teeth and Thal, it's a dice worker placement kind of game. So you roll your dice onto your coaster, and you share white dice between your other players. So you move your little coasters around and you pass them on. And you also have your own colored dice if you have a specific member of bar staff that works in your tavern. But that's quite a unique little thing where you can swap dice. There's dice mitigation with like the washerwoman who can change the dice around and that kind of thing. So it's a really nice theme, having the little tavern and the little pub. I kind of into my beers and into my ales, so that kind of the game spoke to me on that point to start with, and then just the way it plays. And personally for me, Wolfgang Warsch can't make a bad game. He has such a unique range of games as well, things like Taverns and Quacks and Ganchon Clever and Wavelength and the Fuzzies. And the mind.
The mind,
yeah. I've got such a huge range of games for one designer. Taverns is my kind of comfort game in that way. It's a really good, really easy game to get to the table. I don't have a bad game. Yes, you can get frustrated with the luck of the draw sometimes, like any deck building kind of game. When you're building your deck, you can get frustrated when you just keep turning over the cards. But generally speaking, it's a joy to play.
Yeah, it's a really nice midway game, isn't it? I think it's 2 to 4 players.
Yeah.
It's a very satisfying dice game. And that's the artwork as well, with the taverns and the bits that build out and the art on the cards. It's a fantastic, great choice. Yeah. Great choice.
And so I didn't realize Wolfgang also made Wavelength. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
No. Yeah. That's a little fact there. Anyway, cool. PJ?
Here's my question.
Oh, go on.
How do you pronounce it? It's Taverns of...
I say Tiffinel.
Teeth and Fowl.
That's another episode. Just how do you pronounce some of the games?
Well, it's probably board game names and board game designers' names. There's many of those that get destroyed.
So, do you want me to go next?
Yeah, go for it. What have you got for us? Which of those two games? Go for it.
Yeah, so partnering with Taverns last week was Craig's choice. My choice was the 2023 by Hot Banana Games Steam Up. So, straight up food. Everyone loves dim sum, and if they don't, well, we can't be friends. No. But to be fair, we bought this game as a late pledge at Gen Con last year, so we didn't do the Kickstarter back or anything like that. Trying to save money, but then we were just allured by the beautiful pieces and the components. The first player marker is a kind of like a squishy stress ball. That's a bao bun. All the little dim sum components are like a rubber, and they're so realistic and just incredibly cute. But it's a set collection game. We have this rondelle, and it's more like a Lazy Susan, and you can spin it. And you have cards that you can play because you can only eat from the steamers that are right in front of you, and you have to have food tokens in order to take the steamer. So you can't, like, if the steamer has three dim sum pieces, you have to have a food token for all three of them. You can't just take one piece. You have to buy the whole steamer. So you take two actions, and we go around the board, and we just take two actions. The actions have to be different. And you're trying to get the food token so you can pull the steamers, and you've got a player mat in front of you. And they're all asymmetrical. So, you know, your character may prefer the seafood dim sum over the meat, vice versa. And so their scoring is always different. And every time you consume a dim sum, you put it on your player board and you score points. And it's really simple, but it is so adorable. And there's tons of replayability because there's like 16 different player characters, and it's a 1-5 player game. I'm staring at the box right now. So yeah, 1-5 players. And it's fantastic. And it is probably the cutest game that we have. I know that Gareth and I have talked about Tang Garden as being a beautiful game in our collection.
Yeah, beautiful game.
But Steam Up is just, all the components are cute. Probably the only thing that's not cute are cards, because let's be honest, cards are just, you know, they're paper and they're cards. But the steamers, the little bamboo steamers, are plastic, and you've got the striations of bamboo strands. The dim sum pieces are just, you know, like I said, they're rubbery, and they're just the tactile delight, as it were, just makes this game so much fun to play. And we love it every time we hit the table. Like, you can't help but smile. And, you know, like Takenoko, there's like, you know, yum, 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 where, you know, people always, you know, particularly my wife, she's like, oh, I got to have this seafood, yum, yum, yum. I'm like, all right. But it's just a lot of fun. It's a great game. That's really all I could say about it, because it's not a complex strategy. Terracotta Army, you were talking about, is you don't want to be tired when you're playing it. Steam Up, you could play tired. You can just have a little fun before bed, or before you go to work in the morning, or when you come home in the evening after a long day. It's a lot of fun. You know,
how many players have you played it at? Have you played it just at two or any more?
We played it several times at two, and we've played it at four.
Yeah, I read something on the weekend that it can scale, or take some of the games can drag.
Not this one. It scales perfectly. Good. So there's a cardboard ring that you put on the top of the Lazy Susan, and it kind of divides the table. So in a two-player game, I could eat all the steamers on this side of the board, so I have half the board. But obviously, with more players, your area that you can dine from shrinks, right, to accommodate all the players. But you play cards that will let you turn the table, right? In fact, there's one character, that's what he gets to do on his turn. He's like the grandpa, right? He's like the old crotchety grandpa. he could eat from anywheres, right? Because he reaches over, right? Because he's, you know, like all our grandpas, they have no manners. They just reach across the table and grab what they want. And so he could do that. But it's pretty cool. It's cool. It's worth it. That's Steam Up by Hot Banana. I'm telling you, get it.
Hot Find Bananas. A copy.
Yes.
Got to get the deluxe version as well, though.
Yeah.
Just having those little cardboard chits. I mean, as cute as it is, it's like, give me those squishy bits. Give me those squishy bits.
Yes. Yes. Got to have it. Well, yeah, the Bao Bun first player marker was an add-on, right? The first player marker is this beautiful wooden, it's a soup. I can't remember what soup it is, but anyway. And so, but my wife saw the squishy because the lady at the table, she's like, well, here, hold this. And hey, don't put a squishy Bao Bun in my wife's hands because that means we're going all in. And we did. So,
yeah, the deluxe version is so expensive. It's like it's on the market already.
I know.
Yeah, that's one. PJ, you can leave that one for us.
That's all right. I'll bring it to the UK and we'll.
Yeah. That is sorted.
Yeah.
So I've gone for start with a very light game, a game that I had only added to my collection maybe a year ago, but it's been around a while. So that is Point Salad. So
excellent choice. I like that.
It's just a box of 108 cards, which are dual purpose. So there's a whole selection of various salads, so peppers and lettuces and tomatoes and some others I've now forgotten, carrots. And on the other side of the card is a scoring mechanic. So it might be collect 3 carrots, get 6 points, collect a pepper, collect a lettuce and collect a tomato, 10 points. Or sometimes it'll make the carrot worth 5 points, but other cards versus negative. So on your turn, there's 6 cards available or 3 point scorers and you take 2 cards or a point scorer. It's that easy. But every single card, scoring card is unique. So you're kind of trying to collect sets of items and then find a way of scoring them. It's a great, I guess, end of games night filler. Plays 2 to 6 players. I think it scales all those player counts. If we are middle of we're the end of March at the moment, so on Kickstarter is Point City, which is like a newer version, but with city building behind it. So if you're listening now, go check that out. But yeah, it's delightful. Again, the artwork and the cards are very cute. And I say played at all age groups, and a great game if you got new gamers or friends around. Perfect for a gateway into the world of card games. That is my first selection. That easy.
That's great. That's great. I love it. I love it. Craig, what's up for you next?
For me, so next up was a me and a Becky, Mrs. Get Into Games choice, is Chai by Steeped Games. Now, Steam Up, it reminds me a lot of Chai. It's a beautiful, beautiful game. When you look at it and you see it on the shelf or you see it in the shop, it's stunning to look at. But you just wonder, does the gameplay match up to how good it looks? And yeah, for me, Chai is one of those games that it's just great. You've got those Azul type tiles in the central. So you have your tea house and the idea is you're collecting your ingredients to make tea to serve different customers that you draw. So you all have your specific type of tea that you have. And then you're getting customers in, taking out ingredients. So you've got this really lovely Azul type tiles with ingredients on in the central board with a really cool mechanic. Sort of if there's one, you pay a cost, but for every tile touching that tile. So you might pay $2 for 5 mint or something like that. So it's all the ones that are touching it that you take, and then you slide all the ingredients down and then you draw up more. So really cool mechanic on that, and the way it all just comes together is just a really satisfying. You've got these nice little teacups and everything. It's just a really nice satisfying kind of way of serving customers, get ingredients, serve customers, earn points, win the game. And I can always tell a well-designed game is when, if I'm playing with my father-in-law, who isn't a huge like board gamer, as I mentioned before, and he doesn't understand any sort of mechanisms if I explain them to him. He's not a silly man. He's a smart man. But for some reason, you could say a mechanism like a worker placement, put it there, get this. It's sort of, sorry, what? But you can really tell when he is into a game, suddenly he becomes the rules lawyer for the game. You've told him the rules and suddenly he now, I know all the rules now. You've forgotten to do this. You've forgotten to take your money. What are you doing? And then suddenly he becomes this card shark who's serving customers here, taking ingredients, taking everything. And suddenly you're like, how did he win? This is his first game. I'm either a very good teacher or what's happened here? So yeah, you can always tell a good design when he kind of catches on. It seems he catches onto an idea and then becomes a rules lawyer. But yeah, Chai, it's just a fantastic game. It was one Becky had decided that she'd absolutely adored from when we first saw the first video of it that we saw. And we were looking for it for so long. And luckily a retailer got it in stock. We don't have the deluxe version, but as far as I'm aware, the only difference in the deluxe version is metal coins.
Yeah, I was just looking at the version because I've completely skipped this game and I've now looked at it and gone, man, that artwork is great. Why haven't I got this game? I need to play this game.
All of the player cards as well are, so all the customers that you get, you've got like Captain Picard and you have to make him an Earl Grey, and you've got like the characters from The Hobbit and you've got Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, brilliant.
And you've got loads of really interesting characters from literature and from film and stuff like that that you have to serve. Yeah, it's such a good game. It's so much fun.
This game is really hard to find, though.
Yeah.
It's like a dark horse. That's why I've never played it, and I don't own it because I can't ever get a copy. Every time we go to Gen Con or another con, they're demoing it, but they don't have any copies to sell.
Yeah, because he's backed on Kickstarter. It's years ago now. The Tifa 2, he did.
Yeah,
that's two years ago, maybe.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, that one, isn't it?
Yep. It's all gone. And I think that's where, because our good friend Nick from Board Game Review UK has backed it all. He's gone with Chai Deluxified and he's gone Tifa 2. And he's still waiting for a copy to cut, for his Kickstarter to come in. However, a UK retailer, Out of Town Games, has it in stock or had it in stock.
They have it in stock right now as I'm just looking.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and Gareth's probably purchasing it as we speak.
No, I'm going to play it with Craig. I'm going to test it out.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's that local. We should have an excuse to visit.
Yeah.
So, Katie and I demoed Chai for 2 at Gen Con 2021. And fell in love. And he's like, yeah, but I don't have any. You could play it, and I'm glad you like it, but I can't sell it to you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about that. So,
After playing Chai, and because Chai, for me, works really well at all those player counts. It works at 2, it works at 4, it works really well. And there's not a huge amount of downtime. Which can affect some games like that, but it works so well. When we played Tifa 2, we played it at UKGE last year, and it just felt like the T version of Seven Wonders Duel.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Literally felt mechanically, you're getting cards, drawing from different, and it just, for me, it didn't have the same love that Chai has, and because Chai works for me so well at two-player, I don't necessarily need a two-player only version of that game, but that's just me.
No, but that's a fair point. I appreciate that. Because Katie and I are always looking for two-player games, but really we have Seven Wonders Duel and we love that already. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. Yeah.
So. Okay, PJ.
Yep.
Number 2 from you.
Yes. God, I'm gonna try not to talk too much about this because I know we're running close on time, but oh my god. It is the brand new, out of the box, long awaited Distilled. This game just blows me away. We played it at 2-player, we played it at 4, and we played it at 5. And it is just so good, no matter the player count. Okay, so basically, and we take one action going around the board. So you have start of round actions. So everybody does those in turn order. And then you have the market phase. And there's two markets. There's the basic ingredients market. So you have a stack of yeast, water, plant sugars, grain sugars, fruit sugars, a basic generic wooden barrel and a clay barrel, right? And you can only purchase two from that. Yeast is free and it gives you a coin. Water is free and it allows you to draw from one of the premium decks and purchase the top card from that deck if you'd like. And then everything else, these are the cheap items. Then you have the premium market. And as long as you have money, you can keep buying, but the basic, you can only buy two. So you've got upgrades for your distillery. You know, you buy them, you put them in the slot in your distillery playmat in front of you. And then you have more premium ingredients and then you have premium items. And these are fancier bottles that will grant you more money when you sell your alcohol. And then you've got fancier wooden barrels or clay barrels to age your alcohol in. When everyone's done with the market phase, this is what sells me. This is probably the coolest part of the game right here, because this game was designed by two distillers in Wisconsin. So the game really reflects the actual process of distilling alcohol. So you take everything in your pantry that you had just purchased. You have to have one yeast and you have to have one water and you have your sugar, right? And so you put them off the side in your wash back little area, which is just to the left of your player mat. And then for every sugar card that you have, you take an alcohol card. And alcohol cards are cool because they're wild. They can serve as water or yeast. And then you shuffle them. And you take the top card and put it back in your pantry. And the bottom card you put back in your pantry. And then you flip it over and see, what did you distill? Well, let's say you really wanted to distill whiskey, but you didn't have enough of the appropriate sugars. So all you got was moonshine. So you're always distilling something. And this to me is just fascinating because you actually don't know. It's like, I really want to do whiskey or gin or rum or, you know, and there's so many different labels that you can buy from. And the regions where the labels come from come into play in end scoring. So you do that. And then depending upon what you distilled, if it's something that doesn't require aging, then you go to the sell phase, which is next. After that is the age phase. So let's say you successfully distilled a whiskey or a rum that requires aging. You put it in the barrel. You put it on your player mat. You have two slots to age alcohol. And then you take, there's a deck of cards for flavors. Here's another cool part. You just take the top one randomly and slide it. So you don't know what your flavor is going to be like. You know you successfully distilled whiskey and you put it in your wooden barrel. And it's aging, but you don't know what the flavors are going to come out. And this is very, very real, right? You try to put sugars. Distillers put specific sugars in their barrels to elicit certain flavors. But that doesn't always mean that it works just the way you want it. And so then you can age it. And the more that you age it from round to round, you can get more flavors for more points and more money. And then you sell them for both money and victory points at the end, and you just score. It's just so cool. It is so cool. The design is amazing. The artwork is fantastic. There are not a lot of cool, even though we got the deluxe version, there's not a lot of fancy squishy bits or anything to just, you know, the metal coins are extremely satisfying. The heavy metal coaster for the first player marker, that's beautiful. But again, that's whatever. It's just, I can't say any more about it. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
It's getting a lot of love on the reviews, I see.
It's so good.
Yeah, I'm just so looking at it now, thinking, yeah, that does sound quite good. I can feel the love, PJ.
I was not prepared. We saw this. We were like, you know, we're going to back it because it looks great. A friend of mine from Baton Rouge who came to Gen Con last year, who flew up, he got to play a full, you know, so Katie and I had already backed distilled, right? He didn't even know what it was. He just signed up for the event and he went and played the whole game. So he got a full playthrough. He did a late pledge. He backed it. He didn't get the deluxe version, just the base version. And his came in a few days ago. So that's good. So the gameplay is just really good. Yep.
I'm tempted.
Take us home, Gareth. Yeah. Take us home.
Well, so I have three more, but we've only got 1 minute left. So, so I had two, I, I actually chose originally two games, which I'm not going to talk about. One was Scoville and one was A La Carte. They're out of print, but they are probably my favourite food-related games. So people look those up. If you can find a copy of Scoville, it's all about peppers. And A La Carte, which is more of a kid's game, where you've got little saucepans, seriously metal saucepans, and a little cooking hob, cooking food. It's brilliant. But how can I not talk about Viticulture? So one of my sort of all-time favourites. Kind of the, I think, was the first Kickstarter properly we backed back in 2015, I think. Maybe, no, maybe earlier than that, because there's a few
earlier. Regions. 2013.
Was it? Yeah, 2013. So Viti, worker placement. There's Viti, there's the Tuscany, there's the Essential Edition. That's the version you need to get with, I guess, the learnings from. You're making wine, right? Making wine, crushing grapes, a great game to get non-gamers into worker placement. I find it's just about right to teach people some very simple worker placement mechanics. Every round, you are placing your workers across various parts of the seasons, so spring, summer, autumn, winter, depending on which version you're playing, to either gather, grow grapes, crushing grapes, getting buildings that give you enhancements, and then making wine and then selling wine. All washed down with a nice glass of red is a perfect game, and was my number one game for a long time. It's still in my top nine, but I will always have a game of Viticulture. You guys play Viti? But I can see Viti behind Craig's head right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Just there.
There. Yeah, no, it's amazing. Yeah, it's always in the top. For me, it's probably my number two game easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love a game. So through the pandemic, we played it online with friends at the basic version and got them hooked. And of course, when we saw them, we played it properly face to face. It's a fantastic game full of wine. And then there's a couple of expansions that's got cheeses in it as well. So there's a bit of food to add into the mix.
And Viticulture World's incredible as well.
Amazing. That's the co-op. Yes, absolutely fantastic. Yes. Good point. I forgot about that addition there as well. So check it out, that Viticulture. And that is six food-related games and drink, particularly distilled. Sounds like there's a lot of drink.
Yep.
Are there any rules, PJ, that you have to drink with it? Is it encouraging people to drink?
I mean, maybe.
I saw shot glasses came with one of the Kickstarter.
And we did. We got shot glasses. Yeah. It also came with like coasters for you to use. It's cool. So I have to ask you this question, Gareth, because we didn't talk about it last week and we need to mention it tonight. You said that Viticulture was your number one and it was dethroned by?
Yet to be disclosed. We got to do a rundown. I can't ruin that surprise.
Of course you can. We mentioned it in every show and we need to mention it.
No, I'm not sure that would be my number one.
There is one other food related game because there is a cook in the expansion. So there we go.
Obsession. How could I miss it? Yeah.
You know, I set that up for you and you just let it fall.
Yeah, I missed
it. Craig picked it up.
There is a cook in the expansion and there's plenty of rooms I expect that I'm not thinking of now that I've got. if only we had recorded a video and we could see PJ and he's in his Obsession t-shirt as well.
That is an amazing t-shirt.
It's an amazing t-shirt. It's very colourful. I'll take a screenshot of that. Okay. Well, Craig, thank you for joining us. I have a feeling that you'll be back as a regular feature. I've also got Kickstarters that don't work. Bad experiences with Kickstarters is another episode. I could talk about quite a few learnings and watch outs of when on when not to back a Kickstarter. Or sometimes you regret it. Distilled sound and Chai sound like ones I should have backed.
Right.
But fortunately, friends have got them, but one of them's overseas. It's a bit hard to get to.
So the tally is that Craig has equipped us with five different episodes, topics.
I've got three at least, but yeah.
Three. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Craig is working hard tonight and earning his pay.
And I know someone in the UK who has distilled, so we could do that.
Perfect.
As well.
We're sorted then. Okay, well, thank you for joining us again, Craig. It's been great chatting to you. I've loved the theme of food and drink. And everyone keep an eye on Craig's Instagram page for more theme-related content.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks. See you all soon.
See ya. Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram, @meeple2meeple.